שלום חברים, ברוך הבא לכל מקשיבים. This is Dr. Duff Forbes, Rabbi, Kehilat HaMashiach בתוך ישראל. Welcome my friends to this program entitled Treasures from Tanakh. My dear friends, history is a mother hungry for more children. She stretches her encircling arms out into the future and clasps unborn generations to her bosom, pre-feeding them with the milk of her own being, so that when born, they bear her likeness. Particularly is this so where Israel is concerned, for there is no history comparable to Israel's history. It bears upon it the very impress of God, and for that reason it has changed the course of the world and is destined to stretch its formative fingers yet farther into the unborn generations, not only of the Jewish people, but also of all peoples of the earth. It began by divine initiation. It has been sustained by divine preservation. It will be climaxed by divine consummation. It is the miracle of history, and the history of miracle. The history of Israel as a people began on the 14th day of the month Nisan, when the sacrificial blood of the Paschal Lamb was daubed on their domiciles in Egypt 3,500 years ago. The history of Israel as a nation began on the 14th day of the month Nisan 40 years later, when the new generation under Joshua, by divine command, commemorated Pesach, Passover, in the Promised Land. The Red Sea had parted miraculously for their exodus from Egypt. The River Jordan had parted miraculously for their entry into Canaan. No wonder memorials were commanded upon a people and a nation with such an historical inauguration. In the Hebrew language, the word memorial is an interesting one, and its initial employment in the Hebrew Bible is arresting and instructive. The word is zichron, sometimes zikaron. It comes from a primary root meaning to pierce, to penetrate. Hence, a memorial is something intended to pierce, to penetrate the mind, and thus be established in perpetual remembrance. And now here is a rare treasure from Tanakh for you. In our Hebrew scriptures, this word memorial makes its first appearance under circumstances incomparably impressive. The word falls from the lips of God Himself, and is divinely associated with His august name, the sacred Tetragrammaton. Our great teacher Moses had turned aside to behold the wonder of the thorn bush that burned with fire but was not consumed, when deity addressed him from its midst. In the ensuing audience, Moses inquired what designation of reference he should employ of God. This is the thrilling reply he received. Ve'yomer od Elohim el Moshe, ko toma el b'nei Yisrael, Adonai Elohai avotechem, Elohai Avraham, Elohai Yitzchak, ve'Elohai Yaakov. Shelach ani elechem, זה שמי לעולם, וזה זכרי לדור דור. And God said moreover unto Moses, Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, The Eternal, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, hath sent me unto you. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial unto all generations. This verse of scripture found at Exodus chapter 3 and verse 15 possesses some remarkable features and, frankly, challenges the most sober thought. In every place where you heard me use the English word God, the noun is in the plural form, and, when applied in that form to idols, is correctly translated gods, the plural. In the same verse, when I used the English word eternal, the word was the sacred tetragrammaton. Now here are phenomena that simply cry out for explanation to any whose mind is bent on enjoying the fullest depths and delights of divine revelation. Consider our first phenomenon. Why did I not pronounce the tetragrammaton, the four-lettered name? Why did I substitute the word eternal in the English and the word Adonai in the Hebrew? For the simple reason that I'm not sure how it is pronounced, nor is anyone else. Certainly it is not pronounced Jehovah. I employ the word eternal because, as Sforno suggests, the tetragrammaton implies the beginningless existence and eternity of God. That Israel once knew how to pronounce the sacred name is a foregone conclusion, for Moses declared it unto them, and it was upon the lips of the priests, prophets, and psalmists down the ages, until toward the latter period of the Second Temple, when it was uttered only by the high priest on Yom Kippur, and then in such low tones that it could not be heard. I humbly suggest that this gradual loss of the sound of the sacred name has been most unfortunate and has been due to a misunderstanding or misapplication of the commandment, "Thou shalt not take the name of the Eternal thy God in vain," the basic meaning of which I believe to be a prohibition against taking or lifting up the name of God in worthlessness or false report or false oath. I cannot believe that a name given by God to Israel for a memorial, a remembrance, was ever divinely intended to be buried in oblivion. Moreover, I regard as mere sophistry the traditional suggestion that in Exodus 3:15 the Hebrew word le'olam is written defectively, omitting the vav, so that it could read li'ilam, meaning to conceal, and so trying to justify the much later practice of concealing the true pronunciation and substituting another title for it. The second phenomenon is the presence of the plurals to which I have referred. To conceal the one and ignore the other has resulted in a conception and appreciation of the eternal God of Israel quite other than that afforded by the revelation of the Bible. Maybe the loss of the name was prophetic. Yet a knowledge of the great possessor of the name can be recaptured if we have the courage to abandon mere human tradition where it conflicts with divine revelation. I cover this important ground more fully in my book, Out of the Clouds. The name of God, then, is our first biblical memorial. The second biblical memorial is equally suggestive. It is the day the blood of the Lamb was applied in Egypt. It is most impressive that following the revelation of the name of God, the next memorial for Israel points to the redemption he provides. Therefore, and henceforth, the clasping arms of Israel's history are encircled with bright bracelets of divinely prescribed memorials, so that the unborn generations may behold, inquire, and become integrated and participants in a process that has for its goal the redemption of mankind. It is to be expected, therefore, that at the miraculous crossing of the River Jordan under General Yeshua, we meet with another memorial. The waters had parted at the presence of the Ark of the Covenant borne by the priests, who stood in the midst of the riverbed until the people of Israel had passed over into the Promised Land. Then 12 previously commissioned men, one man from each tribe, took up 12 large stones from the riverbed where the priests had stood. These 12 stones, one stone for each tribe, were carried over into the Promised Land and set up there as a memorial tribute to the power and faithfulness of the God that had pledged the land to our fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. In addition, and apparently acting upon his own impulse as far as I can see, Joshua also set up 12 stones in the midst of the Jordan, in the place where the feet of the priests that bore the Ark of the Covenant stood. The memorials having been established, the priests that bore the Ark of the Covenant came up out of the midst of the Jordan, and as soon as the soles of the priests' feet were drawn up unto the dry ground, the waters of the Jordan returned unto their place and flowed over all its banks as before. And the people came up out of the Jordan on the 10th day of the first month and encamped in Gilgal on the east border of Jericho. Would God that the waters of uninspired human tradition would part asunder, to allow Israel to cross over into and inherit the spiritual promised land, where the basic memorials of God and God's redemption from sin through the blood of the Lamb still stand in Scripture to recall him back to the God of Israel and the Messiah Joshua, whom the general Joshua met face to face just across the Jordan.
Yivarecha Adonai v'yishmerecha, Ya'er Adonai panav elecha v'hunecha, Yisar Adonai panav elecha v'yasem lecha shalom. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.